We're in the third of our little series of home. And you may recall a few weeks ago we began by looking at the parable of what's often called the prodigal son. And we saw that God is our heavenly Father and God knows what is best for us. We often don't think that, but he does. And so many of us refuse to accept that. So many of us run away from God. We refuse to accept what God has for us. And like the prodigal son, we run in the opposite direction. But we find if we repent and we turn around, we discover that God is open. His arms are open wide to us, and he's wanting to receive us and encourage us to come back home. The good news of the gospel is that God invites us to come home to the Father's heart. Do not resist him. Do not rebel against him. And then a couple of weeks ago, we saw that when we come home and whenever we, are received by God, we have the right to be called sons and daughters of the King. And we saw in that lovely story of Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, that David invited him into the king's palace, into the king's throne room, and to the king's table. And a couple of weeks ago, as we celebrated communion together, we discovered this lovely truth, that we are sons and daughters of the King. In 1 John chapter 3, John says this, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of the living God." Or Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus says this, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." A lovely picture of God's love for us. As we come home, we have the right to eat with Jesus. But you know something? With great privilege comes great responsibility. And if the first two sermons in this series were speaking of our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father and his love for us, so the sermon today is going to focus on our love for God and our love for others. He invites us, yes, to come home. He invites us to sit at his table, but he also invites us to love others. The great commandment God gave to his disciples was love God and love others as yourselves. And that's not easy to do. But today what we're going to do is tease out what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, how Paul views what it means to be a healthy Christian and to be a healthy church and to show love one to the other. After all, Jesus said in John 13, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And then he says this, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So this is the mark of being a Christian, love. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people at your workplace, your school, your college, even in your home would remark this week, "He or she must have been with Jesus," because of the difference, because of the love that is in their life. I want us to see six very straightforward and very simple things in verses 9 to 13 of this passage. What is love like according to the Apostle Paul? Well, in verse 9 he tells us, firstly, that love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. In other words, love is to be genuine. It's to be the real thing. We're often told today that one of the great values of millennials is integrity, transparency, authenticity. But that surely should be a value for all of us. But it's especially marked in the younger generation. And they can see through someone if they are false. So what Paul is saying here, when he's saying love must be sincere, he's basically saying that we need to live integrated lives. What you are in public, you need to be the same in private. What you are in private, you need to be the same in public. That your life is totally integrated by the gospel. You see, you and I well know that it's possible to come into a public place or to come into church. We put on a mask and we're not genuine. We have a different face for church, or we have a different face for work, or we have a different face for the marketplace. But Paul's saying love is sincere, love is genuine, love ought to be the same in private and in public. Wherever you are, you ought to be the same person. If you're to invite someone to your home, they ought to see that you are the same person at home as you are at work, as you are out on the street. Love integrates. Love is sincere, says Paul. Love comes from the heart. It's really what is in here. That's what love is. Secondly, in verse 10, Paul says, love requires devotion. Verse 10, he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now, here he's talking about being brothers and sisters in Christ. And to be devoted to one another requires time. As I thought about this, I thought, you know, to be devoted to someone requires time. It means that you give them time. Every single one of us in this room has the same amount of time in a day. Now, some of that time is non-discretionary. Some of that time you have to go to work. Some of that time you have to go to appointments. Some of that time you have to sleep. Some of that time you have to eat. But each of us has a chunk of time which is discretionary, which we can use for whatever we want. We might play sport. We might decide to go to the cinema. We might decide to read a book. We might decide to go on Facebook, social network, whatever. But each of us has discretionary time. And the challenge here, I think, from Paul is to say that if we are people who love one another, we need to take some of that discretionary time and show it by caring for one another, by giving time for one another. That time might be simply to eat with someone, time to have a discussion or a conversation with someone. The couch here on the platform today is a symbol. It's a reminder that it's about giving time to someone. It's about hospitality. It's about listening. That's what love is, very practically and very pragmatically. Love requires time. So just thinking, just reflecting about your average week. Think of the week that has passed. In the discretionary time that you had, how much of that time was spent in serving someone else outside of your family? How much of that time was spent in visiting someone in hospital? How much of that time was spent in maybe serving in an organization in church? How much of that time was spent for others? It's a very challenging question, isn't it? I ask it of myself as well. But this is what Paul says. He says, love is sincere, firstly. But he says also, love is devoted. And I know of no better measure of love than time, quality time for others and with others. Thirdly, Paul says, love honors one another. Honor one another above yourselves, he says in the second half of verse 10. How do we honor one another? Well, I think we honor one another whenever we listen to one another. People love to be listened to. As people often say, God has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We should use them in that proportion, and yet, in general, we don't. It's very hard. It's hard work listening to others. But whenever we listen to someone and truly engage with them, it builds them up. It encourages them. They felt, I'm important. I'm listened to. It is such a profound act. When we ask someone, just come, let's have a coffee together, let's sit down, let's just spend time together listening to one another. That is a very loving act. I was reminded very powerfully of the importance of listening when I was in London recently at the HTP Leadership Conference. The overall theme was leadership in love. And during that conference, there was an interview through video with Jean Vanier. Now, Jean Vanier heads up the work called L'Arche, the L'Arche Community, which is a community of profoundly handicapped and disabled people. And Jean Vanier, maybe 50 years ago, started this community because he wanted to reach out to these people and to show them the love of Jesus. And it was very clear from watching the video, and it goes on for about 25 minutes, but we're only going to watch a little two-minute section here. It was very clear that part of loving people is listening to them. So I want us just for a couple of minutes to listen and to watch this video of Jean Vanier being interviewed by Nikki Gumbel. If you want to watch the the video, it's on the Alpha website. It's worth watching. It's about 25 minutes. But I was profoundly moved listening to Jean Vanier, knowing all that he deals with, the community that he lives in. And this wonderful truth that listening to someone, you build them up. You build them up in their character. You build them up in their competence. Love listens. When we love, we listen. We honor people. This is what Jesus did. He listened to the people that the rest of society wasn't listening to. The weak, the vulnerable, the prostitute. And he drew them to himself. And as they allowed Jesus into their lives, he began to change them. As he listened to them, then they began to listen to him. He changes people when we let him in. What is love? Love is sincere and genuine. Love is devoted to each other, which requires time. Love listens. And then fourthly, in verse 11, Paul says, we need to keep our spiritual zeal and fervor in doing this. Literally, in the Greek, literally, keeping our spiritual zeal is be aglow with the Spirit. Sincerity, time, listening, these things take it out of us. And so we need to receive from God's Spirit. The more time we spend with God, the more he refreshes us, the more he renews us, the more he enables us and empowers us to love. And so right at the heart of these verses, Paul is saying, keep your spiritual zeal. You need to keep close to Jesus. You need to have the love of Jesus rubbing off on you. Otherwise, you'll not be able to do this. Because we can't do this in our own strength. Keep your spiritual zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep close to Jesus. In that wonderful hymn in Philippians chapter 2, we're reminded that Jesus made himself nothing, and he took the form of a servant. He is the servant king. And he calls us to watch him and then to go and do likewise. Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Whenever we have the Spirit of God, when we're open to his Spirit, he lets us see things that we didn't see before. We begin to see people who are in need that we didn't see before, and he says, go and speak to that person. Go and comfort that person. Go and take a meal to that person. Love is open to the Spirit. And when we look out for people who are in need, we bring hope and encouragement to them. And so fifthly, Paul says that as we do that, we bring hope and we bring joy to others. I love it when I hear people in the church saying, I have found Highkirk to be a loving fellowship. I love the way my laser group, whenever I'm feeling unwell or I'm going through a difficult time, my laser group calls or phones or helps. There is a real strength at the heart of this congregation. As people love each other, that is what binds us together more than anything. And as people go through a time of bereavement or affliction or loss of a job or whatever, as we pray for one another, as we hold one another up, it brings hope and joy and grace that enables us to get through life, because life is hard. Life is difficult. And so Paul says, we are relational creatures. We need each other. The church is so often viewed as an institution or an organization. And I suppose what I'm trying to do through this series called Home is to de-institutionalize us. Yes, in some ways it has to be an institution, it has to be an organization. But primarily I want us to think of this as home, the place where we can be ourselves, the place where we can relate to one another as brothers and sisters. And so that as people come into this home, they sense that. They sense that atmosphere where love is sincere, where love requires time, where love listens and is open to the Spirit and brings hope and joy. And sixthly and finally, Paul says that we should practice hospitality. Again, the Greek verb for practice here is actually a stronger word than practice. It is more something like pursue hospitality. Make an effort in hospitality. And so I have encouraged us over these Sundays for us to think of somebody in the fellowship that maybe we don't know and to say, would you like to come for Sunday lunch? An opportunity just to get to know you better. It's one thing having tea, coffee in the hall, but it's quite another to say, come to my house. And yet it's only when we do that we really begin to understand who we are. Love shows hospitality. It's a very high value in the Bible. And it takes it to a new level. 1 Peter 4 and 9, Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Let's watch another couple of minutes of Jean Vanier as he speaks about this value of hospitality. He's asked the question about leadership and about young people and about meaning in life. And this is what he answers. I think it was Mark Twain, the author, who said he didn't have difficulty with the bits of the Bible he couldn't understand. He had difficulty with the parts of the Bible he could understand. It was doing it. And there's so much of the Bible is very easy to understand. And Paul in Romans chapter 12 gives us a little snapshot of what love is like. And it's not hard to understand. It's the doing it. My prayer is that God will help me and help each one of us to be a home, and that our homes will be homes that show this kind of love. Let's pray.